All right, if you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Colossians. And for those of you that have been here the last few Sundays, you know that we went through the book of Philippians, which was four chapters long, and now we've been going through the book of Colossians. And they are both letters that were written by Paul to different churches. The letter to the church in Philippi, the book of Philippians, is more or less an encouraging letter, where he is just sharing, hey, you're doing a great job. Remember, God is working on you. He's not done with you yet. You're not perfect, but God is still working on you. And that message is true for all of us, isn't it?
Yes.
Are you perfect?
No.
Jim was the most accurate. You probably didn't hear what he said. Say it louder.
Far from it.
Far from it. We're a long ways from being perfect, aren't we?
Yep.
But if we're believers, if we trust in the Lord and have Jesus in his heart, that makes us perfect in God's eyes. And the rest of it, God continues to work on in our hearts to change us and mold us. So praise God for that. The book of Colossians, then, as we get into it, the letter is a little different. Because Paul had some concerns about the church. That's why he wrote this letter. And he shared some of those concerns that he had about them. And as we have looked at, some of the concerns was the voices that they were listening to. Who were they following? And again, in the book of Colossians, and I'm going over this each week because I think we need to have it in our minds. Paul gives the answer to any questions that they have, and it's not a complicated answer. The answer is what? One word.
Jesus.
Follow Jesus. Keep your eyes set on Jesus. Focus on Jesus. That is the answer. Don't start following anything else in your life. Don't start worshiping anything else in your life. Don't put anything else first in your life except for Jesus. Now, this morning, we're going to look at the latter part of chapter 3 and chapter 4. And this is for all of us. And as we read, you'll see how. But Colossians chapter 3, we're going to start in verse 17 and then read through chapter 4, verse 6. So if you found that, if you're able to stand, I'm going to ask if you'd stand as we read God's word this morning. Colossians chapter 3, beginning in verse 17, and this is what God's word shares. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men-pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he that does wrong shall receive for the wrong which he has done, and there is no respect of persons. Masters, give to your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us that God would open to us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom towards them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Let's pray together. Lord God, we come to you this morning and we thank you for your word. Lord, as you inspired Paul as he wrote this letter to the Colossian church, Lord, help us to understand that your word is also for us. And Lord, this morning as we read through your word, I pray that you would help us to apply it to our own lives, to our own hearts, to gain and to have the understanding from it that you want us to have. And Lord, I pray that through your Holy Spirit, you would just give us an understanding. Speak to our hearts. Lord, if there are areas that need to change, help us to have the boldness and the courage to accept that and to desire that change to take place so we can become your people more and more as we live our daily lives. So speak to our hearts today, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. All right, you can be seated. You can be seated this morning. So as we look here in Colossians 3, As Paul is writing, he begins to talk not about just their relationship with the Lord, but how their relationship with the Lord impacts other people. And here's the thing that we need to understand. Your relationship with the Lord, who all does that affect? Does it just affect you? Does it affect you? Yes. Your relationship with the Lord determines where you're going to spend eternity. That is a pretty big impact on your life, isn't it? It impacts as you go through your day-to-day life, knowing that you have Jesus Christ there walking beside you, that you're never alone. All the promises in God's Word are for you if you're a believer and following Him. It has a huge impact on your life, but here's the thing. Does it just impact you? No. Who does it impact? Everyone around you. And that is what Paul begins to focus on. And as I said, this impacts all of us. And he goes through a list of people here. And I'm guessing you fall under one of these categories, or maybe more than one. Because the first one that he lists is verse 18 that we read. Wives. All the wives that are in here, raise your hand. Keep them up for a minute. All right, that's a good portion of you. So this is for you. Listen up. All you girls that may become wives one day, listen up. Husbands, that doesn't mean fall asleep. You can listen up too. Wives, what does it say to do? What is the direction and guidance that it gives here? Ooh. What do you think? Wives? What's the word it uses? Okay, what does that word mean? Some of you are kind of laughing. You have this nervous smile on your face. You're like, can't we just move on to the husband part? What does that word mean? It says submit. What does it mean? Obey? What? To give? To follow? Honor? Do we always like that word submit? Because why don't we like it? My wife said no. You heard her. You heard her clearly, yeah. She was the loudest voice in the room. Why do we not like that word? And it's not just wives, any of us. Why do we not like that word submit? Because when we submit, it means we may not get our own way. Isn't that ultimately what it means when you submit? We may not get our own way, so we don't like it. And it's not just wives. Husbands, any of us, do we like to not get our way? No, none of us like that. We want our way. But here it is directing it specifically towards wives. And I think this is a scripture that's often misunderstood or misinterpreted or used wrong. Because it doesn't mean that wives, that you're just under the heel of your husband, whatever he says you got to do. And that, I don't believe that that's the way that God intended it. Because we got to think back to when God created everything and started everything. He created man first, right? We know the story way back in Genesis. He created Adam. And he saw that it was not good for man to be alone. Isn't that what it says? All you guys that are married, it's not good for us to be alone, is it? I'll just speak for me, because you may be completely different from me. I would not do a good job of taking care of myself. I just wouldn't. I would eat whatever, I would do whatever, and I don't know, it just wouldn't be a good thing. I hate to think what the house would look like. God said he knew that it wasn't good for man to be alone. So what did it say he created for Adam? Did he create a slave for Adam to do whatever he said? Is that what it says? How does it describe who he created for Adam? Helpmeet or a helpmate is what he created for Adam when he created Eve. So what was the role of the woman that he created for Adam? To be a helper. And a husband and wife need to think of it in that way. You see, a husband and a wife should be moving in the same direction, shouldn't they? They should be sharing those same goals, having that same purpose and intent in their hearts. When they become joined in marriage, the Bible says they become one, right? But here's the problem. That submitting, sometimes the husband goes one direction and the wife goes the other. Does that work? No, the example that I always use when I'm doing marital counseling, premarital counseling for a couple that wants to get married, I in the back of their book that I use, I write the word God right up at the top. And then I put husband down here and wife down here. And a husband and wife can choose to go opposite directions. But that's not what God wants. If the husband is trying to become closer to God and the wife is trying to become closer to God, what naturally happens to their relationship? They become closer to each other as they each draw closer to God. That is what God intends. And when it says, women, submit to your husbands, submit to the fact that you both need to be heading in the right direction. Wives, you should be the greatest supporter of your husband, not working in the opposite direction. And that is what God intends, that you're going in the same direction and supporting. So wives, submit to your husbands. It's a support role. Does that mean women can't be strong? Does that mean women can't have an opinion? Well, I can tell you that's not the case. Tammy has a lot of opinions. They don't always line up with mine. Mine are always right, obviously. You know, there are times when I have wrong thinking, and guess who needs to set me straight? She does. There are times she has wrong thinking, and guess who has to set her straight? Yeah, she's not. You agree, don't you? Again, that is what God intends. So wives, that submit doesn't mean you're under the heel of your husband. It means you're together in things. You're heading in the right direction. And you're to be the biggest supporter of your husband because they need it. Husbands, would you agree with that? You need that support? Okay, then it goes to the next one, wives. Or excuse me, husbands. So husbands, listen up. Wives doesn't mean you can tune out. What does it say for husbands? Seems simple, right? Right? Is it as simple as that verse sounds? Husband, love your wives. What does that really mean, to love your wife? Support her? Cherish her? What's that? Be her helper? You know, we can turn back to Corinthians 13, the love chapter, and read the whole definition of love. It talks about love being patient, love being kind, love putting others first. It talks about, yeah, love not seeking its own, putting others first. Husbands, that's to be what you do. And guess what? You do that, it's a whole lot easier for your wife to be supportive of you. These things work together. They are intended to. There's other scriptures in the Bible that say, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. What did Christ do for the church? He gave everything for it. He died for it. He gave his life for it. So husbands, that's how you're to view your marriage. That's how you're to view your spouse, to cherish her, to love her, to just have the greatest desire for her to be well, to do well. That needs to be your heart. So this covers all the husbands and wives that are here. What's the next one? Who does that go towards? Children. Raise your hand if you are a child. That means some of you adults should be raising your hand. We are all a child of someone, right? But specifically those that are younger, and it says what to do. Children, do what? Obey your parents. What does it mean to obey? And again, none of us always, we don't always like that word either. What does it mean to obey? To do what they say. Does it say, children, obey your parents if you like what they tell you to do? Children, obey your parents unless it's going to spoil your fun. Does it say those things? No, it says obey your parents. So children, anybody that's living at home under 18, however we view children, it says you are to obey your parents. That doesn't mean you're going to agree with them, but that means you are to be obedient to them. Why do we do all these things? What is the importance of it? Look at what that verse says after that. Children, obey your parents. Why? There's two things we're going to talk about this morning. Pleasing God is the first. We do these things not just because God's word tells us to do it. Wives, you aren't just to submit to your husband just because God's word says. Husbands, you're not just to love your wives just because the Bible tells you to do it. Children, you're not to be obedient just because that's what the Bible says. You're to do it because It is pleasing to the Lord. Do you want to please God? Do you want to please God?
Yes.
Then this is not a pick or choose what you want to do, is it? It's not pick out the parts that I feel like doing today. It says, husbands, love your wives. Wives, submit to your husbands. Children, obey your parents. These are things that pleases God when you do them. And how often are we called to do these things? Every day. And as we do these things in our lives, it is pleasing to God. He looks down. When somebody does something that is pleasing to you, how do you feel about that? When my kids, when they were younger, and they were doing things that we were happy about them doing, you see them maybe sharing with a friend, or you see them taking care of their brother and sister, and you know what? It just puts a smile on your face, doesn't it? Hey, I'm doing something right. Look, they're doing what we want them to do. They're growing, they're maturing to be who God would want them to be. It pleases us, and it makes us feel good. And folks, when we do these things that please God, He looks down and He smiles, and it makes God feel good to see us doing these things. However, when our children don't do those things that please us, and that happens too, doesn't it? We see our son run up and grab something out of their sister's hand, which Caleb, I'm sure that never happened. Or the girls come up and grab something out of Caleb's hand. What is our response to that? Not pleasing, is it? Causes you some sorrow. And folks, when we're not doing these things in our day-to-day lives, God looks down and guess what? It's not pleasure He sees, but it's sorrow that we're missing out on what He has for us. So we've talked about husbands, wives, we've hit children. It goes on after that, though. Look in verse 22. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart fearing God. So it goes on to talk about servants. So we can automatically ignore that verse because none of us are servants, right? What do you think? Yes? No? We're all servants? You know, it's interesting. When we hear that word servants, or we hear that word slaves or servants, what immediately comes to our mind? What's that? Maid and butler. Oh, a maid and a butler. All right. I'm thinking maid and butler. What does Butler, Indiana have to do with anything? A maid and a butler. Okay, I'm with you now. I'm a little slow this morning. You know, a lot of times we hear that word servant or slave, and we think back to like American history and slavery, and we understand how terrible that was. But being a servant in biblical times was much different than that. It was not what we think of as typical American history slavery that happened in the United States or in other places. Often they were servants because they were paying off debts or they were fulfilling obligations. They became servants. I know in my family tree, you go back a ways, and when some of my ancestors came over to the United States, they became indentured servants. In other words, that's how they paid to get over here. They had to work for a period of time to pay off their debt. That's really what a servant was more often in the Bible than what we think of as a slave. For us today, we can also think, we can put employee in here. You know, we're working. We're following somebody else's direction. So as we work in our lives, it says be obedient. Not with eye service or as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart fearing God. Again, who is it all about pleasing? Not just our boss, but pleasing God. So do you think God cares how we do our work? I'm going to ask again. Do you think God cares how we do our work?
Yes,
absolutely. God cares about what kind of employees we are, about what kind of work we do. And we know that all workers are model employees, aren't they? They go to work, they show up on time, they work hard, they do everything they're told, and every day. All employees are like that, right? You know, sometimes it's sad in our world. I've always told my kids, if you show up on time and do your job, you're going to be ahead of like 75% of the people out there today. For believers, if you're an employee, God has an expectation of you, and that is that you do your job and you do it well. And as it goes on in the beginning of chapter 4, it doesn't just cover that end, but then it says masters, the ones in charge. If you have people under you, give to your servants that which is just and equal. In other words, treat them fairly. Do what's right to them. If you have people under you, make sure you're following that. So we have talked about wives, husbands, children, employees, bosses, servants, masters. We've talked about all that. Did all of that hit every one of you under one of those categories? So it hits all of us. So what is the point of all this? Look in verse 17. And whatsoever you do in word or deed. Whatsoever, that means everything, doesn't it? Anything you do as a parent, as a husband, as a wife, as a child, as an employer, as a boss, everything that you do, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father in Him. Everything that we do in life, our role as a parent, our role as a spouse, our role as an employee, our role as a friend, our role in everything, our life within the church and doing things in the church, what are we to focus on in all that? Jesus. Again, we're going back to the same thing Paul has been talking about all through this book. We're doing it all not for ourselves, but we're doing it for Jesus. He says the same thing in verse 23. And whatever you do, again, that covers everything, right? What are you going to do this week? What's on your agenda? What's in your plans? What's on your calendar? What are you going to do? How many of you are going to work this week? How many of you are going to school this week? Okay. What about retired people? They can do whatever they want, right? It covers all of us. It says in whatever we do, not just as a husband, not just as a wife, not just as a child, but in everything that we do, every relationship we have, everything we find ourselves putting our hand to, it says, do it heartily as to the Lord. Remember, we're doing this to please God because He watches how we live our lives. He watches the heart and the attitude that we do things with. And does it please Him? That's what it comes down to. Does it please Him the way we are living our lives? But there is a second part that Paul talks about here. I told you before we were going to focus on two things. The first was remembering that all these things are to please God in the way we do them. But there is one other thing that it mentions and it talks about. Look in verse 5 of chapter 4. Walk in wisdom towards them that are without, redeeming the time. What does that mean? Walk in wisdom towards them that are without. Who's those that are without? It's talking about people that aren't believers. People that aren't Christians. People that are outside of the church, outside of the family of God. What does it say that we're to do for them? Walk in wisdom towards them. What does that mean? Help them. What's that? Be a bridge. Guide them. Be a bridge between God and them. Point them to the right direction. These are things that we are supposed to do. Walk in wisdom towards them that are without. And the very next verse, let your speech be seasoned with grace. Will always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how to answer every man. We do all these things to please God, but also because other people are watching how we live our lives. Other people are watching what kind of a husband you are. They're watching what kind of a wife you are. They're watching what kind of a child you are. They're watching what kind of an employee you are. They're watching how you live your life. Why? Because they know you're a Christian. Do they make judgments according to that? So if they see somebody in church that goes to church every Sunday and then they don't treat their wife right, what do they get from that? Why should I go to church? Look, what, you know, I'm doing a better job at being a husband than they are, so why should I be involved with that? Or if they see a wife that goes out and does whatever and is not supportive of her husband or talks behind his back and downgrades him and pulls him down, what message does that send to them? Well, where's the love the Bible talks about? I don't see it in them. Or children, if you're disobedient, you don't listen to your parents, those that are not Christians, what do they think? Well, they're no different than I, so why should I go to church? All of this is saying when we live to please God, there will be a difference in our lives. And others will see that difference. And it should point them to Jesus. It says redeeming the time. What does that mean to redeem the time? What's it mean? Use the time you have. Use it wisely. Time is an interesting thing, isn't it? We can gain wealth and lose wealth. We can accumulate things and lose things. But we spend time. Can we ever get it back? Once it's gone, it's gone. The value of time is immense. And God has given each one of us a certain amount of it. And we don't know how what that amount is. For some, it's only a few years. For some, it's a junior friend in Holgate Nursing Home. He's 104 right now. God's got, given him a lot of years. Are we guaranteed that? No. So it says to redeem the time. That means make good use of it. Understand that there is a whole world around us that don't know Jesus Christ. Part of our responsibility as Christians is to live a life that points them to Jesus. And all these things we've talked about, it comes down to this. Are you living a life that's pleasing God and pointing others to Jesus? That's what it comes down to. Our relationship with God and how that influences others. And this morning, I want to challenge you with that. To think about the way you live your day-to-day life, your interaction with your spouse, with your children, with your parents, with your coworkers, whoever you interact with. The way that you're living, is it pleasing to God, and is it pointing others to Him? We only have a certain amount of time, and if we only have a certain amount of time, what does that mean to those that it talks about that are outside the church? They also only have a limited amount of time, don't they? Right? Here's the thing that sometimes really gets me. When I think about the fact that as I talk to someone, I never know. It could be the last time that anybody talks to them. Right? Isn't that true? So it really challenges me, and it sometimes weighs heavy on me. Did I share what was important in that time I had to share with them? Because redeeming the time means that we understand that time is short. That we understand the value of it and we take advantage of it. If there is something that you have plenty of, how do you treat it? Think about that for a minute. If there's something that you have lots and lots of, no concern about it, how do you treat it? No thoughts? You should share it. Often things we have a lot of, we don't think much of. But things that we don't have much of. If I get, and I know the value, you know, we sing the song, Lord, you are more precious than what? Silver. More costly than gold. I don't know what the price of gold is right now, but it's high, isn't it?
$3,100 an ounce.
$3,100 an ounce. I should have invested in that. But if I were to give each one of you, you know, you can buy like a fifth of an ounce of gold. You can buy even smaller increments. But do you know how small a little thing of gold that is? It's not very big. If I gave each one of you one of those this morning, how would you treat it? That tiny little itty-bitty one little piece of gold, how would you treat it? How would you treat it? None of you know? I'm not giving you one then. Would you value it? Would you take care of it? Would you think about what you're actively doing with it? Ladies, would you just toss it in your purse and not think about it? No, you would keep track of it. You would value it. You would make sure you don't lose it because it is important. It is of value. And here it says, redeeming the time, we need to understand the value of time. We need to understand how important it is that we share Jesus with people because it is limited. It is limited. Not the fact that any one of us could die at any time. That's reality. I know it's not meant to frighten, but that's the truth. But the other thing is, even if that doesn't happen, do you understand that Jesus is coming back someday? And when could Jesus come back?
Right now.
Anytime. Could Jesus come? I know. I'm not encouraging you to look at the clock. I shouldn't even look that way. But could Jesus come back at 11:45 today? Or 11:46? Or 11:47? Or yeah, we could go on and on. But he could, couldn't he? If he did, would you treat the next 2 minutes differently if you knew that? Would you act any differently? If you knew he was coming back a week from now, would you have some conversations with people that maybe you wouldn't have had otherwise? Folks, redeeming the time, that means understanding its value. That means making use of what God is giving you. God has given us today. He's given us right now. I don't know how much he'll give us beyond this. Take advantage of what he gives you. Be the spouse you're meant to be the child, the son or daughter, be the parent, be the employee, be the friend. Be who God wants you to be because it pleases God and because that's what the world needs to see. They need people to point them to Jesus, and those people need to be who? Us. Us. That's the message this morning. That's Paul's message to the church. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, so you know how to answer every man. He's talking about talking with others, how to answer their questions, how to share with them. Do you think he's talking about the weather with other people? Or talking about the fact that Duke and Auburn both lost last night, and they're the teams I wanted to win? Who cares? Ultimately, who cares? I'm not going to remember by probably next week who won anyway. It's not going to make any difference in my life. But there are things I can share with people that will make a difference for eternity. Don't neglect to share those things. It's all right to have those other conversations, but make sure you have the most important ones. Take advantage of the time that God has given us today. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for this day that you've given us. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to remember that we are to live our lives to please you so that others can see our lives and that our lives would point them to you. That as we talk with others, as we share with others, Lord, help us to share the things that are the most important. We can have conversations about the weather. We can have conversations about sports or whatever. But Lord, help us not to neglect having the conversations about the most important things, and that's eternal life. That's about you, Jesus. Remind us of that. Lord, if there's anyone in this place this morning that doesn't know Jesus, I pray this morning that they would realize that they need Jesus to have their sins forgiven, to have a home in heaven waiting for them. Lord, for each one that has that, help us to remember our job is not done. Our job is to share you with others, to spread the gospel message of Jesus Christ, and to not stray from that. So help us to do that as well. Thank you again for your presence in this place. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. This morning as we close, the altar's open. If you think about your life and you know there's some areas you're not being the person God wants you to be, the spouse, the husband, the child, the parent, the employee, whoever. You don't have to admit that to me, but admit it to God and ask for forgiveness and ask him to give you the strength to do better, to give you the wisdom to do better. And God will honor that prayer. But the altar is open. If you have anything in your heart that you want to talk with God about, come and talk to him this morning. Take my life, take my hands, take my voice, take my silver and gold, take my love, take my will. That's what we just sang. That's pretty much everything, isn't it? That needs to be our desire. Everything we are, everything we do, doing it for the Lord. And I pray that's our desire as we leave this place. And it all starts when we walk, well, it starts even before we walk out those doors. But everything we do, everything we say, do it to please God and to be that example for others. Let's bow our heads as we pray. Lord God, thank you again for this morning. I thank you for each one that's here. I thank you, Lord, that your voice can speak to us. And I pray as we leave here that we would have a desire to be the people you want us to be. The spouses, the children, the parents, employees, friends, in all that we are, all that we do. Help us to do it to please you. And as we please you, it will be an example to others. And help us, Lord, to understand the importance of sharing you with those around us. It is what our lives are to be all about. So remind us of that. Give us opportunities and help us to take advantage of those, not to walk away, but to share what is most important, and that is Jesus Christ. Thank you again, Lord, for your presence in this place. And we ask and pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen. God bless you and have a wonderful day and week.